Hi, the next 15 minutes is for you, our listener, as Fred Kuhn explores this issue.
Hello, everybody. We have a great topic today and an exceptional guest. Our topic today is generational gaps in the workplace and millennial issues. It's all over the web. It's all over the papers. And what are we talking about? We're talking about issues in the workplace that affect top and bottom line. Our guest today is David Lewis, who is founder and president and CEO of Operations Inc. It's one of the nation's largest human resource outsourcing and consulting firms. David has a 30-year career in human resources and operational management for leading firms like Merck and Medco and Computer Associates. He's also quoted on MSNBC, Fox, CBS Radio, NPR, and regularly appears in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. You can read more about him and contact him on his bio that is on the guest biography section of our website. David, welcome to the program.
Hi, Fred. Great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. It's nice for you to spend time with us today. So let's get right to the heart of the matter. You see issues that are showing up in the workplace, and they're tied to the presence of millennials. What are the issues? What are you seeing? What's going on?
Well, I think as a parent of two millennials, you know, what you see in general, and I hate stereotypes, I think in this case, there's a lot of applicability for it. The millennial generation has this insatiable need for a level of feedback and communication and type of communication that far exceeds previous generations. And the way this is manifesting itself in a lot of workplaces is that millennials are looking for the type of performance information and performance review communication that many of us are used to on an annual level. They're looking for that level of communication as frequently as monthly or even weekly. They're also looking for an understanding of career paths in terms of months, not years. And it is creating a significant rift in organizations that are multi-generational as a result, because it looks like there is an accommodation being made to that population that turns into a level of resentment by many of those of the older generation. So it's creating a lot of challenges for organizations who are cross-generational, in fact.
Well, there's, what, four or five generations now under one roof?
You know, I think what we're seeing certainly is that the gap, the difference in style and in approach is so significant, much more significant between millennials and the other generations you're finding in the workplace versus those previous generations amongst themselves. You know, case in point is just the net level of connectivity. You know, this idea that you have to walk around with your phone and you have to constantly be looking at it and constantly using that as your primary tool of communication. Previous generations didn't grow up with that. And, you know, again, if you're a parent and you've got kids who do that, it's something that you're carrying into the workplace, meaning you're already resentful of the way your children seem to be overconnected. Now you start to see it in your coworkers, and you start to deal with them more so in a parental mode than you do as a constructive coworker mode.
Yeah, because you look at it and say, well, they can't be productive. They're on the phone. They aren't working on the task.
They aren't working on the task. They seem to be overly obsessed with that. You know, I worked in a company back in the 90s at the beginning age of email. And as email infiltrated the organization, it became clear to the CEO that it was becoming a problem with communication. And so he had the IT department shut the servers off for email from 2 o'clock until 4 o'clock in the afternoon every day to force people to do something that they used to do before email, which was get up, walk out of their cubicle, walk 10 feet down to the person they had been emailing, and talk to them face to face. And I think there's a lot of merit in that, and certainly something that I think you can see organizations considering, if not doing, in 2019, trying to foster face-to-face communication and eliminate the devices as a means of communication. That's one of the biggest issues, I think, that organizations who have a large millennial population right now are facing.
One of the guests that I had last week said to me that they're now posting how to best work with me signs on their cubicles, in their offices, so that when you approach that person, you know what to say, what to do, what not to say, what not to do, to improve the communications. I thought that was a striking difference between the way I came up through the corporate world and the way you came up through the corporate world.
So we actually are an organization that is certified in a personality profiling tool called DISC, D-I-S-C. And one of the versions of DISC that has made its way into the market is one that identifies your characteristics based on different bird types. And what you've just described has become a phenomenon in some of our clients, whether they use the bird version of DISC or not. And that is that you not only use this as a tool to be able to first identify the styles of the individuals you're training or you're coaching or you're leading, but take it a step further and make it clear to all others within the organization what those styles are. So that, as you just aptly described, you're now in a position to be better prepared on how to communicate with that individual. And the bird piece just makes it easier to make the connection. Rather than trying to figure out the various, and the descriptors talk about high D's or low I's, different descriptors of the individual's personality. In this case, you see an eagle or you see a parrot, and you know what those ultimately mean. And while they sound a little bit hokey, at the end of the day, it's all about making sure that organizations work as effectively and efficiently as possible and become less emotional about looking at how somebody is communicating with you and more intuitive and understanding that what you're experiencing is more about their style and less about anything that they are doing in any way, shape, or form to purposely offend.
That's true, because if you have conflict within corporations, and all corporations at every level have conflict of some sort, we all try to manage that conflict as best we can, but understanding the communication style most effective for the person we're dealing with or the people that we're dealing with would seem to me to be critical as part of training within corporate HR and management.
And I'm 100% in favor of it. The tricky part is when you are doing so in such a way that doesn't categorize people just on the basis of their personality traits, but purposely or accidentally start to separate them based on generation. And then you get into more of the difficulty of managing that, because now we've been coming into organizations and doing sort of interventions and focus groups. And, you know, a sensitivity and diversity training for us had a different kind of a connotation and meaning as it relates to that type of program. It was focused on things like ethnic background and gender. In this particular case, we're finding ourselves getting called in to do training on a sensitivity and diversity level, but the sensitivity and diversity is on a generational level. It's helping non-millennials understand millennials. It's helping millennials understand non-millennials. It's doing the kumbaya thing to be able to get everybody to first appreciate and understand those differences and then figure out how best to embrace them and move the needle towards the middle for both parties in the process.
What I'm hearing you say, David Lewis, is that we have layers of complexity. We have the layer you mentioned, which is what we were trained on, and that is racial sensitivity, ethnic sensitivity, religious sensitivity. And now you layer on that generational sensitivity and awareness, it becomes a much more complex training issue.
It does, and I think if it's not held in check and addressed appropriately, it creates a level of significant resentment between the generations. Because, you know, the perception that's being pushed and promoted, per se, by older generations in some organizations when this is not managed properly is that the organization is yielding to sort of this bratty, over-demanding behavior. And the idea that an organization would bend and allow for a new generation like the millennials to shift in such a radical way the style in which an organization communicates performance information, which is good for everybody, but consider the 45-year-old worker who is frustrated with their manager and has been for years and has been telling the organization over and over again in employee engagement surveys that I want more in the way of communication about my performance than just this one meeting a year for 15 minutes. And they get nothing out of that. And then suddenly a wave of 20-somethings comes into the company, and suddenly performance reviews have moved to once every 3 months, with managers receiving training on how to provide regular feedback. Yes, it's good for the population, but it also creates a level of resentment of wondering, why did it take so long and why just this population? Why are they getting that level of attention by the organization? But the kicker is when the organization also takes someone who used to have to be in the company for 5 years to get promoted, and now they're promoting people in 5 months. That's where it starts to really fall apart, and that's where organizations need to be very careful about how they're leaning towards the millennials hurts them with other generations in the process.
Well, let me follow on with that, David. I'm curious about the Y and Z and how they're approaching the millennials, going from that younger generation to the millennials, which will be perceived by the youngers as older. And how does that work out in what you were just saying?
I think it's too soon at this point to be able to draw a lot of those lines. I think the stark contrast with those that remain in the workforce that are of the baby boomer generation and the Gen Xers per se seems to be a much greater level of a divide between those. And listen, here's the other thing to just consider. We have a lot of clients that we work with who have become paralyzed by the fact that the millennial population, even if they are regularly communicated with and even provided some level of or what's viewed as an accelerated career path, that group is still turning over at an alarming rate. It is creating for the first time a sense of focus on things like succession planning, simply because they can't keep this group around long enough to be able to feed the pipeline long term for the future leaders of the company. I mean, one of the things that's funny but true is that for my generation, at least, and I'm 53, for my generation, if you left the job every 3 years or even more frequently than that, you were considered a job hopper and eventually became a radioactive job candidate, someone nobody wanted to touch. If you're a millennial and you leave a job every year, you're an entrepreneur. And the view of this is you don't stay much longer than a year because you need to constantly be moving, you need to constantly be changing, and you want to be able to find career growth or perceived career growth, and that comes through a significant amount of job changes over a relatively short period of time.
I had a podcast guest several podcasts ago who told me almost the same thing, that their older generation who wants to retire in this very impressive company can't find people that want to stay around, and they're trying to figure out how to address those needs and fill that pipeline. Otherwise, these guys can't retire. There's no succession coming through because of the high turnover, because of the different expectations generations have in approaching the job and work itself.
And the industry that's the poster child for this right now is the industry that needs to figure out a way to redefine what people view as the definition of the name manufacturing. People in the manufacturing space in particular, who really have become very much high tech. There are far fewer companies that truly have people passing and assembling widgets on an assembly line. And instead, now manufacturing has become much more of a high tech environment. But you're looking at an industry that has a terrible identity problem because it's not a sexy industry, or at least how it's been branded to date. It's old school. It doesn't do a good enough job of explaining all the tech opportunities that exist there. And as a result, we've got clients, some high-profile ones, where the average age of people in their plant is 62. 62! And it's not because they don't understand how to promote and groom and develop. It's because you know, short of putting shackles on people and chaining them to their desks, they are doing everything they possibly can to attract and retain the right people. But the level of turnover, especially in an unemployment market of 3.9%, the level of opportunity that's out there and the competition that they're facing makes it almost impossible for them to keep people long enough to groom them for the future. So I echo your point. It's going to become very difficult and will continue to be difficult for a lot of these firms to develop that pool of talent that is the next layer or the future, if you will, of management and of leadership for those positions that retire out in the coming years.
David, I really appreciate you joining me. We have spent a wonderful 16 minutes together, and I wish we could have more time, but we don't. I'd like to maybe schedule another podcast. Folks, we've been visiting with David Lewis, who is the founder and president and CEO of Operations Inc. He's been quoted and been on MSNBC, Fox, CBS, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, etc. Go read his bio. Get a hold of him if you found something interesting. I found it fascinating. So I really appreciate it, David Lewis, you joining our program.
Thank you, Fred. It's been great.
Thanks for joining us. If you wish to speak with Fred or you want a transcript of this interview, send an email to podcast@stuartcoopercoon.com. See you soon.